To all of you who've been working behind the scenes here at Harbor, doing a variety of things. Property's been doing work, Altar Guild's been doing work. Thank you to those of you who were able to come on Wednesday night for fellowship. You brought food. I'm assuming you ate food. You heard a wonderful speaker and you had a great time of fellowship, and that's important. And thank you as well to those of you on the prayer team. Prayer is such a vital part of any Christian walk, and to have a prayer team here at Harbor is an important ministry. By the way, my name is Chris Townsend. If I haven't met you yet, I look forward to that opportunity. I look forward to the opportunity to visiting you in your home if you desire. There's a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. You can sign up and I'll come to your home as long as you don't have a cat. If you have a cat, we'll meet somewhere else. I have allergies. I'm sorry about that. But thank you also, I said about the Altar Guild. They've been working in our space here. And we're so thankful for that. And I want to highlight that as well. So some of you may have noticed a little changes in the chancel area. That's the area behind me around the altar. And we're just trying to refine some things and correct some challenges. And I just wanted to highlight the minor changes of the placement of the flags and the role they are for us this morning. Obviously, as I mentioned a moment ago, it's Memorial Day weekend. We honor those who represented our flag, who died in service to this country on this Memorial Day weekend. Some of you may have had those in your family, and I give thanks for the sacrifice they made so that we can have this freedom to gather here in worship this morning. Tomorrow, and today, of course, we remember those people who sacrificed their life for our great country. In this Great Lakes of Iowa region, people are celebrating the start of summer, the kickoff. I experienced that very clearly yesterday afternoon. Being new to the area and not being the smartest man in the world, some of you warned me not to drive down 71 through town. Oh, it can't be that bad. It was. And I hear it'll only get worse. So driving the loop, it takes me 2 more minutes. So it's not that big a deal. But I just give thanks for the opportunity to be with you this morning in worship. You notice, obviously, the Christian flag on the screen, or the flag of the United States on the screen and behind me, but also the Christian flag. Just a little indications for you on its history. It was actually designed in Coney Island in New York. In 1897, September 26. And it was a flag designed to represent all of Christianity, not necessarily a Lutherans or Methodist or non-denominational, but all of Christianity. And the shade of red, of course, is the cross that you see, and that's important. You see the color of red on some of the fellow worshipers, as well as the paramounts here at the church. And that's to reflect the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross at Calvary. And then the blue, of course, represents water, the waters of baptism, how we enter into the family of God. And then the white represents the purity of Jesus that is so appropriate because he was without sin. He, Jesus the Christ. I would ask everyone to stand at this time. We're going to share in the pledges. First, the pledge to the United States of America and its flag, and then more importantly for us as believers to the Christian flag. So we address the flag at this time. Please join with me. It's coming up on the screen as well. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And then some of you may be familiar with this pledge. It's the pledge to our Christian flag that many Christians have, but it's on the screen for us to be blessed by as well. We join together. I pledge allegiance to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the faith for which it stands, one Savior, King eternal, with mercy and grace for all. Thank you very much. Continue standing as the praise team is coming forward as we're going to sing our opening songs. Two of them, America the Beautiful and then Breathe. Thank you. Just continue to pray. If you haven't heard, Charlie, who's usually up here on the praise team, fell. She's recovering, but she's unable to be with us this morning.
I'm lost without you.
Thank you. We continue in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God of all grace, give us the power of your Holy Spirit that, attentive to your word, we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God by contemplating our grace-filled connection with our Savior. I ask you to just take a moment of silent reflection and connect with God. Hear these words of forgiveness. Jesus Christ, who lived, who died and rose from the dead, blesses us with his forgiveness, a promise made to us. May we all know that our sins are forgiven because of the power of God, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? As the praise team is seated, I invite Dale to come up as well at this time to read our focus text.
There we go. Our first reading comes from the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. The common biblical reference for this text recalls the story regarding the Tower of Babel. Now we hear God's word. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower and the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. This ends our first reading on this Pentecost Sunday. Our second reading comes from the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, and then you will hear from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. This reading highlights the birth of the Christian church. We now hear God's word. "In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, 'Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus.'" And now from chapter 2. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." That's the disciples. "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Their sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This ends our second reading. Would you please stand on this special Sunday as our gospel text is read by Pastor Chris.
Thank you, Dale. Our gospel is from the 14th chapter of John. The header in most Bibles for this reading is entitled, "Jesus Promises the Holy Spirit." Hear these words. "If you love me, you will obey what I commanded." These are the words of Jesus. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you." And then continuing at verse 25 and beyond, "All this I have spoken while I was still with you. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." This is the word of God. The congregation may be seated at this time. Some of you may have noticed, what's he doing standing up in the pulpit? Because I usually don't, but being this is Pentecost Sunday, one of the high Sundays, the holy days in our Christian church, I thought I'd do something a little different, something special. Some of you may have noticed the Paschal candle. This is the larger candle. The Altar Guild moved it. It used to sit right here. One of the members of the Altar Guild was afraid if I was up here preaching, I'd go boom and I'd knock it over. Partly that's why it's moved. Partly that's why it's lit today. We discussed at the Altar Guild the reason why we do certain things in the church. And the Paschal candle, or the Christ candle, that large candle, is to be lit on special days in the church calendar, such as Pentecost Sunday. So it's a blessing to be able to have that lit and appropriately there. I want to tackle the issue of red. That's how I'm starting this message. Some of you wore red, thank you. I had sent out that reminder, and Some of you heard it and others are like, ah, that's okay. God knows where your heart is, whether you have red on or not. God loves you no matter what. But it was unclear to me until recently of the tradition of Harbor of Joy that often y'all wear red on Pentecost Sunday and Reformation. There's other churches that do that too, and that's very wonderful. It's a way to, in a sense, have a unifying force. And as I strive to learn the traditions of Harbor of Joy, I ask for your patience and your guidance and your prayers, because I'm going to miss a lot in my time here, but you're going to correct me, I'm sure of that. Getting back to Pentecost Sunday and red. I'm not sure if everyone knows why we wear red, why wearing of the red is a Christian tradition, but I wanted to share with you my understanding of it so we can be on the same page in this regard. The wearing of red traditionally is deeply rooted in our Christian history. It holds a profound meaning that reflects the very essence of the power of God, His Son, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. There are Lutheran churches throughout the world today, as well as other churches, where people are wearing red, recognizing the movement of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the Christian church, as was described in Acts chapter 2. Oh, by the way, I understand there's birthday cake afterwards, so please join me in a time of fellowship as we celebrate and continue to celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost, of course, commemorates the descent upon the apostles of the Holy Spirit while they were gathered, as Jesus told them, to stay in Jerusalem. This divine outpouring, that's how we can look at the Holy Spirit. This divine outpouring, as theologians have recorded, marked the inception of the Christian community. So no longer was it Jews and Gentiles, but the body of Christ together, the Christian community, is now moving forward. And I love this, what one theologian wrote, and it ignited the flames of faith across the world. And that continues to this day. But why wear red on this special day? The color of red has a deep symbolic meaning in our Christian tradition. It serves as a visual presentation of the Holy Spirit's presence. You see red in our wonderful altar paraments. I placed a stole that I use on the baptismal font because of the connection with baptism and the Holy Spirit. Are you aware of that connection? Maybe some of you recall the words, maybe not of your own baptism because you might have been an infant, you don't remember, but your children or grandchildren or even great-grandchildren. Part of our traditional words that are spoken at a baptism are these. I'm using my name in this case, Chris, child of God. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. In many Christian traditions, it's in the baptism that we receive the power of God in the Holy Spirit. And that's such a blessing for those of us who have been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. For some reason, if you have yet to be baptized, you don't recall if you were ever baptized, please speak to me about that, because really, it's never too late. Just as flames of fire descended upon the disciples some 2,000 years ago that blessed them with a power provided by God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we are blessed still today. So this color red should ignite our heart with the zeal of the Holy Spirit, the reminder of the flame of the Holy Spirit, that we're supposed to go out there and do God's work in His desired way. And the sea of red that is in some walls of some churches are reminding people, just as it reminds us today, that the Holy Spirit is in our midst. But why do we need the Holy Spirit, you might ask? I don't know if that was a question on your mind. Well, let me highlight that in a bit. But I want to go back to that first reading that Dale shared from that first book in the Bible, Genesis. Genesis 11. I can only assume some of you were thinking, why is he reading that text about the Tower of Babel? What does that have to do with Pentecost? Why? Why would we do that? Well, many New Testament scholars make this connection from Genesis 11 to Acts chapter 2. And they make this connection because this was the solution, Pentecost, New Testament, was the solution to the Tower of Babel. There were people around that time, the Tower of Babel, that were trying to think of themselves better than God himself. They wanted to build a tower up to the heavens so they could go up there and be with God, as opposed to following his word and his ways here on earth and his instructions. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit affirms the diversity of human language as was happening at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. The diversity of the human language was enabling everyone to hear one another, as we found out in Acts chapter 2. Not in a single universal language, but the diversity of languages. Diversity is okay when it's biblical diversity. Sometimes our world corrupts that word, but biblical, sound biblical diversity is appropriate. The thought that not having one language at that time was sort of like a divine punishment. But then people grew in their faith of God and then of his Son and the power of the Holy Spirit. Quickly, Genesis 11 is also a story about pride and rebellion of God against God. Against God. The attempt that the people had to build this tower to get up to God was trying to make a name for themselves, trying to be that and all that and so much more. Sometimes in our world today, we try to be more than what we're called to be by God. Sometimes in business, we let our ego get in the way. Sometimes in our personal relationships, sometimes even in the church, the ego gets in the way. And sometimes when we're pumping our ego up, we're pushing God away, and that's a problem. Because it's God who ultimately makes a name for his people, for you, and for I. So basically, we cannot be full of ourselves, is the message here. Because when we are, our ego gets in the way of God doing what he wants to do through us. I don't know if you know what ego stands for. Some of you think you do. But ego, E-G-O, what does it translate to? It's coming up on the screen. Edging God out. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way. If you've ever met somebody that has an ego bigger than life, oftentimes they're edging God out. They're deciding that they're in control as opposed to God being in control. I could spend a whole message on this text, but let me highlight just one other wonderful connection in Genesis chapter 11. One can see the people's desire to stay in one place, but this is contrary to God's mandate. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 shares this: "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Obviously, you can't do that if you're staying in one place. Okay, let me jump back now to the gospel text that I read just a moment ago before we jump into the book of Acts that Pentecost is really about. In the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, we hear Jesus sharing with his disciples at that time because of the guidance of his Father, God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that the Father will give them a helper. And that helper will sustain them and guide them. What blessed words from Jesus, verses 25 and 26 again. "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you your remembrance all that I have said to you." Powerful that if we're connected with the Spirit, he will fill those gaps when we have the lack of knowledge about what Jesus wants us to do. That's what God the Father is saying, that the Holy Spirit will guide you. I pray the Spirit is guiding you. In our baptisms, remember, we are marked with the cross of Christ and that additional blessing that I shared a moment ago and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Such a vital thing. The Holy Spirit joined us together with Jesus. Some of you have been to weddings where they talk about the couple coming together and no one will pull them apart. When we are baptized, marked with the cross of Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit, That is something that no one can pull apart. That is a connection that we now have with God the Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit that no one can destroy. In our biblical Christian Lutheran theology, when two things come together such as that, nothing can tear them apart. So through God's creative power and the words of His Son and our Savior, we're joined together through the power of the Holy Spirit. I, for one, think that's very cool, that we're joined together through the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, I want to dig into Acts chapter 2 that Dale read. Thank you, Dale, for reading that. Sometimes I love when the people of God come forth and read text in front of you, especially when there's hard words in them that I'll make a mistake. So I thank you that are willing to get up there and just flow through them so the pastor doesn't have to stumble through them. So what's recorded in Acts chapter 2 shows us a dramatic happening in the house, in the place where the apostles were gathered. It's dramatic, so much so that Luke, the author of Acts, had to resort to similes to try to describe the scene. It's coming up on the screen. There was a sound like the rush of a violent wind. Divided tongues of fire appeared among them. Powerful words, powerful imagery for us to get our heads around. Flames? Tongues of fire? What the heck is going on there? But it's the power of the Holy Spirit. We have that symbol of fire through the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, something dramatically happened in those moments. Something profoundly spiritual happened in the truest and most literal sense of the word. But at the same time, Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 was also a pretty down-to-earth kind of thing going on. The apostles, Scripture tells us, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. A miracle? For sure. Suddenly they could speak in other languages. I don't know if that happens to you, that all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're speaking Latin, Greek, or Hebrew. If you are, please talk to me. I need help in those areas. But we had this this speaking in other languages that some people probably thought they were babbling and just going along. But maybe, well, we know this for sure, it's not a maybe. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, gifted them to do this. They weren't babbling. They didn't take that language course. Some of you are familiar with that language course, Babel. I'm wondering if they called it Babel, that language course. I think it's online. With the knowledge of the Tower of Babel. I don't know if there's a connection in that area. But anyways, the apostles spoke of God's deeds of power to those Jews from every nation under heaven. Every nation under heaven understood what these men were saying to them, these 12 men. After all, this is now Pentecost. They were gathered there for the Feast of Weeks. It was a holy day for the people of the Jewish tradition. It's why so many people from so many areas were in Jerusalem. But now they're hearing God's word spoken by man in their own native language. What a blessing. Here's the larger point. They were speaking in human languages. It wasn't babbling. It wasn't speaking in tongues, as some of you may have experienced in your life. It was human languages that could be understood by the appropriate people from the appropriate setting and country. It wasn't a crazy spiritual language. This was a kind of speaking in tongues that they were blessed by, and that maybe you've been blessed by in a different way. The apostles were speaking real, established human languages, and people from all lands heard and understood it. They were speaking native languages. And Dale shared the list of countries that they were representing. What an amazing thing that all of them understood what the apostles were trying to share, these 12 apostles. And it's highlighted in our scripture, they were simple Galileans. They weren't linguistic wizards. How could they be doing this? The best that they could have done before that was barter or swear in Greek. Beyond that, there was a challenge. but because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody from every nation and under the heavens was understanding what they were saying, a miracle, a down-to-earth miracle. The Apostle Peter points to an important passage from the prophet Joel to interpret what they were all experiencing. And remember, these were Jewish people gathered in Jerusalem for this feast time, so they would have known of the prophet Joel. That day would come when his spirit would be poured out on all people so that they would prophesy, which does not mean predicting the future, it simply means speaking God's word. That's what was happening on Pentecost Day. God's word was being spoken so that all people could hear it. So that, as Joel wrote, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord would be saved. What a powerful statement. For decades I've heard Lutheran churches getting derailed because people would say, oh, the Holy Spirit isn't with that church. I'm trying to think of the proper phrase to say bunk. But anyways, the Holy Spirit is present in every biblical church. Doesn't matter if it's from the Roman Catholic tradition to the Lutheran tradition to the Pentecostal tradition to the non-denominational tradition, the Holy Spirit is present because God the Father and His Son are present and His Word is there. Sometimes we think the Holy Spirit gives greater measure to some churches. Maybe the Pentecostals, or some people would say the Holy Rollers. It's not true. It's just acted out in a different way. Those of us who have been baptized in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, we've been sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit. It'll manifest itself in us in the way God chooses to do, not man. Unfortunately, the Holy Spirit movement almost becomes a competition for some Christians to see how spiritually hyper they can be to show the works of the Holy Spirit in their life. For some people that may work, but for me as a simple Bible believer, I know what God is doing each and every day in my life, and I just give thanks that it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that that can happen. And most of the time, it's just down-to-earth stuff, listening to God and responding to God. The Holy Spirit's primary work, as we hear in Acts chapter 2, is found simply in speaking and hearing the Word of God in normal human languages. The Spirit has been at work in the Lutheran tradition since the 1500s. You may be aware of that. I pray you are. Martin Luther both translated the Bible and the words of the Mass of that day into simple village German language. Because oftentimes in the tradition of the Roman Catholic Church at that time, Latin was spoken in the Mass. Very appropriate. A lot of people didn't understand it. So Martin Luther decided to translate the Bible and the Mass into what people called village German. And it was not dumbing it down. It was just simply translated so everyone could understand that. Luther wasn't necessarily loved by everyone for doing that, but he wanted all people to have access to God's word in that fashion. And for centuries, Lutherans have been translating and doing God's work so others can hear God's word. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the first attempt to translate something into something Christian into an Indian language happened as a Lutheran missionary tried to translate Luther's small catechism into the Indian Algonquin language in the 1600s. That's going back in the day. So Lutherans have been playing a role in this translating of God's word for centuries, and we can be thankful for that. My simple prayer today is that you know the Holy Spirit is at work, and you allow Him to work through you each and every day. Right now, here at Harbor of Joy, I believe the Holy Spirit's moving each of us to do the hard work as we prepare for the next pastor that will come and bless this faith community as you will bless him. Please know that you aren't required to have some ecstatic experience to show that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. We're called to simply read, follow, and be guided by God's word each and every day in a down-to-earth way that is just simply blessing God. In the book of Acts, 120 disciples gathered, as was described in chapter 1 and beyond. Then 12 apostles were highlighted in chapter 2. And then all Acts break loose here in chapter 2. Through the power of God, through his son Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through the 12, through the 120, and through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, more than 2.18 billion people today call upon Jesus as Lord, call upon Jesus as their Savior. You might be thinking right now, finally, Pastor got to the title of his sermon, going to 12, 120, 2.18 billion. It took me a while to get there. But I want to wrap this part of our worship up in prayer. At this time, I'd invite the praise team to come forward and prepare to lead us in song. And I would ask you, the people of God, to bow your heads in prayer. God, we thank you. We thank you that we're part of your family here at Harbor of Joy. We thank you for everyone gathered here this morning that's here every Sunday or that is visiting. We thank you. We thank you for those that are online worshiping with us. And Father God, you turn the babblers of the Old Testament into the blessings of the New Testament when you blessed us with the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Continue to breathe on us the breath of your Holy Spirit. Make it move our hearts closer to you and to one another as we sing praises to you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue in worship by singing together. To enter into a time of prayer before we sing our sending song, so would you pray with me? Father God, you've blessed us with a great country. As we approach its 250th year, continue to guide us as you did our forefathers, to walk with you daily. We give thanks to those serving in our armed forces. We especially, on this Memorial Day weekend, give thanks for those who died protecting our freedoms, especially the freedom to worship. Be with all who are on vacation from the Great Lakes region all the way to Texas and Arizona. Keep everyone safe. And Jesus, be present with those unable to be with us this morning. Be with Mark as he rehabs from his injury. Be with Charlie recovering after a fall. Be with the Waukee family as they mourn Mariah's death and passing into eternal life that can be celebrated. And be with the Royer and McHugh families, friends of Sarah and Pastor Chris, as they mourn the death of their mother, Dorothy. Especially be with those traveling for graduation season. Keep families safe as they celebrate the graduation milestone. And finally, Lord, thank you. on this Pentecost Sunday for giving us the Holy Spirit that moves us daily. And the Holy Spirit be present with Patty as she travels to Tanzania to be with her in powerful ways as she witnesses of you to others. And we give thanks for the offering received this morning, the sacrifice that people make to return their tithe back to you. And Holy Spirit, be with the prayer partners as they call upon you. Be with the ladies of this church as they gather for their monthly luncheon. Bless them with great food and fellowship as you guide them to serve you. And Holy Spirit, for us, right here at Harbor of Joy, move us forward to see how we can better serve you and your people. God, speak to us and ready us for your kingdom come and your will be done as we join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you please stand as we sing our sending song, Word of God Speak. Thank you, everyone, for worshiping this Sunday morning with us and those of us joining online. Thank you for that wonderful blessing to be together as the body of Christ on this Pentecost Sunday. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Don't forget the cake.